In this episode, I'm going to discuss some good credit cards for the casual traveler and those people new to the points and miles game. Here we go. Hey everyone, welcome to the Travel Fanboy Podcast. I'm Adam, your host, and you may notice that in this episode, the sound quality is not its usual high standard. That is because, as many of you know, I'm currently in the process of moving, and the Travel Fanboy Studio is locked away in a storage facility. It's highly guarded, a lot of security around there, and it's climate controlled, because we gotta keep the moneymakers safe, okay? So I appreciate your patience with this. I was able to save a personal recording device that I did not pack up, so that I can get an episode out to you. I wanted to make sure that there wasn't too much time between shows. I didn't want to go a month or more because there are people who subscribe via cash to this show and they deserve to have high quality content in their ears as often as possible. But let's not waste any time. Let's just get right to it. In this episode, we're discussing kind of developing a strategy around credit cards and the points and miles game for people who maybe they don't travel as much as the travel writers, you know, that they read, or, you know, they're not business travelers, or they're just completely new to this whole thing and they don't even really know where to start. So I think the first tip that I really want to make sure I get out there is just to find a strategy that is comfortable for you. Everyone's going to be at a different, you know, point in this journey, if you will. Everyone is going to have different experiences with this. Everyone's going to have a different credit history that's going to affect this as well. But, you know, those travel bloggers, those travel writers that you might really, really enjoy reading, you know, they're going to have a different experience, right? It's not going to necessarily mirror what you are at right now and maybe where you really want to be too. Because a lot of these travel bloggers, either they're traveling a lot for business, so it affords them the opportunity to write about a lot of travel experiences, or this is their actual job, and so they're traveling quite frequently, and so they might have those 15 plus card portfolios in their wallet, you know, and really most people don't travel enough to make the fees worth carrying that many pieces of plastic. So just know that there's a lot of really good tips out there, but you don't have to absorb all of them. You don't have to react and apply all of them personally. Because, again, it really probably isn't worth the fees. A lot of these credit cards are going to have sometimes really high fees. We're going to talk about that in a second. But even if they have minimal fees, having that many might not be a good value proposition to you. And that's kind of a really big question to talk about. Are those premium cards, and are they worth the cost? For most premium cards, yeah, during year one, certainly the sign-on bonuses alone will make it, you know, at worst, a break-even proposition. And, you know, for these premium cards, if you're curious about the annual fees, you know, you're going to see some as high, like with the American Express Platinum, as high as $550 for the personal card. That's a year. Now, again, because of the really lucrative sign-on bonuses, yeah, you're going to get or match the value with the sign-on bonus alone if you're using that efficiently. But they all also offer a litany of really sexy perks and benefits that are really tantalizing for frequent travelers. But if you only travel a few times a year, you know, those cards might not be worth the annual fees after year one. So there's some to potentially ditch after year one if you're interested in getting those. But for a lot of them, that yearly fee is also applied right there in that first billing cycle. So you're going to get hit with that $400 to $550 fee. And that's not something that, you know, you want to cough up, because a lot of people just think of it as kind of a down payment for future value later on. That's how I think of it as well. But you got to be ready for that. So just, you know, kind of be thinking about that. And for a lot of people, when they talk about the value of these premium cards, you know, beyond the very clear cut things like the sign-on bonus, maybe like an airline bonus or something like that, like an airline credit. Beyond that, the perks of those cards, the value is really, really subjective. And so some people might get a lot of value out of them because they travel so much, but others, not so much. So really think carefully about whether or not a premium card is worth for you. They're sexy, they're heavy metal cards, they're gonna give you some lounge access, which is nice, that's what travel bloggers love writing about. But, you know, it might not be worth it for how you go about traveling or how you kind of approach the game. So what I would say is to find your mainstay, right? Find a card or cards that work best for the long term, that kind of match your spending patterns, and your maybe aspirational activities in the future, and then form a strategy around that card or cards. Certain cards, specifically those that earn flexible points, really, really work well together. So for instance, take American Express's cards, the ones that earn membership rewards points. All those points combine into a pool, and then you can use those points, especially if you have a couple different cards that are rewarding you for different types of spending. All those points can combine into a pool, and you can use those points to transfer to travel partners and things like that. And that can be a really, really nice strategy. Same thing with Chase and their Ultimate Rewards program. Chase works very similarly, but you have to take kind of an extra step. They don't tend to all pool into one account. If you've got multiple cards with Chase, say you've got like the Chase Sapphire Preferred or Chase and the Chase Freedom card, those are going to earn points on those respective accounts, kind of like each one has its own bank of points, but you can transfer the points from one bank, and I'm using air quotes right there, you can see, one bank into the other. It's kind of like if you have a checking account and a savings account with Chase, and you can freely move money there instantaneously as well. So that can be a really, really nice starting point, is to find a card that maybe has that flexible option there, right? That earns kind of a bank of points, a card or cards that earns a bank of points in what we call a flexible currency. And a flexible currency are kind of those bank points where it's not tied up into one specific rewards account with a particular travel company, because once your points tend to get to, you know, say like an airline or a hotel, it can be really difficult to move them out. And for a lot of people, that they tend to lose a little bit of value there. If your points are just sitting in Chase or American Express, well, you can use those points for a lot of different things, sometimes with just cash back opportunities, and cash is king for a lot of people. So that really, really works well. But if you want to unlock a lot of value, you know, really to do that, you have to start transferring and moving those points around. We're going to get to that in a second. But let's say you're trying to come up with a strategy. You've got a couple different options. I do think that starting off with a really good flexible card, a card that's earning flexible points. So like a Chase card or an Amex card or a Citi card or something like that. And then maybe branching out and trying some from different categories, say like a hotel card and an airline card, and kind of rinse, lathering, and repeating around the flexible card. Know that, however, because of varied earn rates and transfer options, you actually may earn more miles or points on a flexible point earning card than with the co-branded card. In an early episode, I kind of talked about the difference between a co-branded card and just kind of a flexible card. But with a co-branded card, let's take like Southwest, for example, right? A Southwest card is a co-branded card. So it's a Visa card that is basically kind of run by Chase. Right, but you're earning Southwest points whenever you make charges on that card, and you're only earning Southwest points, right? And so because of that, those points are staying in that Southwest account, and they're going to stay in that Southwest account until you burn them by using or making a purchase on Southwest. And so one issue with co-branded cards is, well, they can have really nice sign-on bonuses, and some can give you some perks specific to that company, right? Say, take like a Delta card, you can earn, you get rewarded with, say, like free check bags, maybe some lounge access, something like that. But let's focus on the Southwest card for a second. With a lot of these co-branded cards, you know, an airline card, hotel card, whatever it is, when you're talking about earning points, you're really going to be only earning at an accelerated rate for a lot of these cards with purchases made with that particular company, right? So if you're making purchases with your Southwest card, the most kind of expeditious point earning opportunities are with purchases made with Southwest, typically only earning 1 point per dollar on every other type of purchase, maybe a couple points per dollar, you know, with Southwest. So beyond the sign-on bonus, you're not really earning a ton of points unless you're making a lot of purchases with Southwest. If you don't travel that much, you're probably not making that many travel purchases with Southwest or with any specific company, whether it's, you know, Starwood, Marriott, Delta, whatever it is. But sometimes because of the flexible options of the points with like Chase or American Express, those cards might be giving you a better earn rate on your spending in a variety of different categories, say like restaurant, travel, transportation, those kinds of things. And because you can tend to transfer those points to different travel partners, you might be earning more points with the flexible card for your airline or hotel of choice with just having a basic Chase card or Amex card or Citi card or something like that. I hope that kind of makes sense. But take the Southwest card and, say, the Chase Sapphire Preferred card, for example. Well, if you have a lot of restaurant spending and travel spending, well, the Chase Sapphire Preferred card might be better because, one, you earn a bonus with the Chase Sapphire Preferred, and you're earning more quickly in categories that make more sense to you, and then you just transfer those points to Southwest. You can do both at the same time, get the Southwest card and the Chase Sapphire Preferred. You're getting a high bonus, earning flexible points, and the ability to transfer those points to Southwest as well. Just kind of something to think about there. If you've got questions about what I mean by that, don't be afraid to kind of shoot me a tweet or send me an email, because it sounds probably more complicated than it is if we can kind of talk in person or if I can lay it out on paper. But why are those transferable points better? Why do I prefer earning flexible points than maybe co-branded card points, points directly with an airline or hotel? The reason really has to do with award charts. You might find that for some airlines, the amount of points required to book a ticket really depends on the actual price of the ticket, if it was paid in cash, right? So it's a revenue-based kind of award chart there. But for some, the award chart, or you know how many points it costs to book a ticket, it can actually be somewhat static. And that's, of course, based on availability, but essentially, it's going to be based on a couple different criteria, right? So a flight from city A to city B is just going to cost a certain number of points, no matter the actual cash price of the flight at any given time. This is actually very similar to how many hotels work too. So depending on the category of room, if there's availability, the points per night will be static. And it's in these situations in which you can really stretch the value of your points. But playing this game can cost some time and energy, and there are some simple cards out there that really make the redemption process straightforward. But this does limit the value of their points or miles. There's always a trade-off when you're kind of navigating this game, but it's finding kind of those static award charts, and I'm probably not using the right term that most travel bloggers use, but I'm trying to make sure that it makes sense for people that are kind of just getting started with this whole thing. So really looking at, okay, you know, if you'll probably see, like, if you book a Hyatt hotel, that just this room per night in points costs whatever, 12,000 points a night. It doesn't really matter what the actual cash value is when you look on like a booking agency or something like, or a booking site, right? So it's always going to be a certain number of points if it's available. And so finding those opportunities can really, really be a lucrative way to kind of spend your points, which is why, as I said, I tend to really focus on flexible point options. It's not that I run away from co-brand cards. I've got a couple in my wallet, but I think in terms of a majority of the points that I'm earning, I like things being more flexible. I think the more flexible a currency is, the more value it has to me. And that's also something to think about as you're starting your strategy there. But let's talk about the cards that I like overall. And this is not a comprehensive list, and this is a list that's very, very subjective. But I think if you're getting started, these are some cards maybe to look at, and I'll give you some reasons why. So I think, in my opinion, and this is not an unpopular opinion, I'm kind of echoing what a lot of people have said, but I think the best overall card for travel, period, especially if you're getting into the points and miles game, is the Chase Sapphire Preferred card. Now, CSP, that's what you're going to see it on, the abbreviation on a lot of travel sites. It's got a $95 annual fee. That seems, you know, if you're kind of new to this, it might seem like a little bit high. That is waived the first year, though, so you can kind of figure out, do you like the card? Does it make sense for you? And then if not, you can just cancel before that first year's up. And by the way, keep in mind that for a lot of banks, if you use the card, you get the sign-on bonus, and then you cancel the card, in many cases, you cannot then reapply for that card and get the bonus again. You want to make sure of that before you cancel any card. But so the CSP, Chase Sapphire Preferred, $95 annual fee. You're typically going to see a 50,000 point sign-on bonus. So if you just took it as cash back, 1 cent per point, that's $500 just right off the bat. So you can see where, you know, there's some value there. This card will allow you to earn 2x points on restaurant and travel. And the points that you accumulate are worth 1.25 cents per piece when booking through the Ultimate Rewards portal there. So you can see even locking an additional 25% extra value if you use those points through Ultimate Rewards. And the points do transfer to several different travel partners as well. I really like this card for that opportunity to transfer to travel partners. It's a big draw for this card. It's the best way to unlock a lot of value. And I think this is a really easy stepping stone, a really easy card to have, earn points on, and really kind of dip your toes in the water and say, okay, I'm gonna try this out. It's a not very expensive card. It's gonna give me a good sign-on bonus. And what I would try is then say, okay, I'm going to try and just do one transfer. I want to just see how this works. Can I unlock a little bit more value than maybe 1.25 cents per piece for these points? So, you know, with this card, you know, you got the transfer options, couple that with the bonus points for a very popular category, which is dining. And I think this card is worth holding on for a while. It's the one that's kind of the mainstay in my wallet. It's probably going to be in there for a long time because I just think it unlocks a lot of options for people that kind of normal basic cards don't do. Standard cashback cards don't have a lot of these options there. So that's the one that's overall. If you're looking for simple, which is what I kind of alluded to earlier, and you don't want to navigate a lot of things, you don't have to worry about transferring points and all that kind of stuff, I would suggest the Capital One Venture Rewards card. Now, the Capital One Venture Rewards has a $95 annual fee, also waived the first year. What's really cool, and I think this is a new perk for this card, they give you a $100 application fee credit for global entry or TSA pre-check. That right there offsets the annual fee, at least for the second year. You're not going to be charged for the first. So now you're covered for basically 2 years if you have been wanting to apply for global entry or TSA pre-check. I would, if you don't have either, just apply for global entry. Reason is TSA PreCheck is automatically included in global entry, so you might as well just get both of them. That's not the case. If you sign up for TSA PreCheck, you don't automatically have global entry. But you know, that is the case if you sign up for global entry. So I would sign up for global entry there. This card also gives you a 50,000 mile sign-on bonus, again, valued at about 1 cent per point. Nice thing about this card, you get 2x miles on every single purchase. That's huge. That's something where you don't have to worry about, okay, do I use this card for this purchase? Am I using a different card? You're just getting a flat 2x points. That's really, really nice. If you are a fan of hotels.com, also you're not someone who's really concerned about loyalty or anything like that, building loyalty or getting, you know, status with a particular company, this card also earns 10x miles on hotels.com booking. So also, including that, you can take advantage of the hotels.com reward system as well. Hotels.com, not really my thing. I prefer to book directly and build up some loyalty there. But for a lot of people, if you're only traveling a couple times a year, this would be a really good option for you, this particular card. So how the kind of miles work here, the miles that you earn on this card are used as a statement credit applied towards travel expenses. So essentially, you are getting that flat 1 cent per point redemption. You don't unlock a ton of crazy value there, but if you don't want to navigate award charts and you simply want a straightforward process, this is a really, really good option there. And I think sometimes these simple cards can be overlooked in the travel community because I think a lot of people just want something that's straightforward. The Capital One Venture Rewards card gives you that and gives you a couple different, at least one good perk with the application fee credit and that 2x miles and the 50,000 bonus. So. Something to consider there. Let's focus on hotels, okay? So I think right now, for me, my favorite hotel credit card is the brand new World of Hyatt credit card. Now, they had kind of a legacy card that had been around for, I think, 7 or 8 years. It was a decent card, a little bit boring, but pretty good for a hotel card. Now they've come out, the World of Hyatt credit card, with a brand new version. And I think it's they're really looking for long-term loyalty with this particular card. So let's just kind of get into some of the details here. It's got a $95 annual fee, not waived the first year. This is an increase. The old card, I think, was 75 bucks. Give you a 40,000 point sign-on bonus. And so now when I say this, we start getting into co-branded cards. This is where things get a little bit more tricky because, you know, not all points or miles are created equal or not all worth the same based on, you know, the particular company. So 40,000 miles with Hyatt is not the, or sorry, 40,000 points with Hyatt is not the same as 40,000 points with Hilton, which is not the same as 40,000 points with, you know, Starwood or Marriott or something like that. So just make sure you look at maybe award charts with particular companies and say, okay, what is the relative value here? Is this a good deal, the sign-on bonus? So 40,000 point sign-on bonus, you're gonna get a 20,000 additional point bonus after spending $6,000 on the card in the first 6 months. So you can unlock some really, really good value here if, you know, your spending kind of warrants it. You're gonna get 4x points on Hyatt purchases. So this is kind of what I'm talking about before. You're getting that accelerated earn, of course, with the specific relevant company. But also on this card, you're gonna get 2x points on dining, commuting, and airfare. That's, to me, pretty good for a co-branded card, rewarding at an accelerated rate outside of particular company purchases. In addition to those, you're going to get one free night in a Category 1 through 4 hotel annually. And you'll get an additional free night, so the potential for two free nights if you spend $15,000 on the card annually as well. So you have the option of getting two free nights, you're at least gonna get one. To me, that right there offsets that $95 annual fee, because you can typically find category 1 through 4, specifically category 4 hotels in the Hyatt chain, you know, that cost anywhere between two, sometimes in excess of $300. So that's a good value there for me. It's another example of prepaying, you know, the annual fee for value that you get later on. Again, not a lot of people like that, but it's something to potentially consider. I do think that some people get a little bit crazy with it. They get a bunch of these cards and they're, you know, they've got an excess of $1,000 in credit card fees. And so they've really got to concentrate on unlocking that value later on, make sure they're spending, or not spending, sorry, staying and taking advantage of these kind of perks that they're getting. But again, the World of Hyatt credit card, pretty decent, especially because of that one free night and all these kind of bonus points and the accelerated earning. I am a big fan of Hyatt hotels, maybe unnecessarily so. I really do like them. I like their products. You know, the one drawback is Hyatt, as you know, as a company, they don't have the breadth of their portfolio as other companies do, right? So, you know, it can be sometimes difficult, you know, geographically speaking, to find a hotel that will work for you depending on where you're going. If you're going to a big city, yeah, you're typically going to find a couple different Hyatt hotels. But, you know, again, they don't have the sizable portfolio that other companies have. So that's something to kind of think about. But the generous bonus spending categories, the bonuses, the sign-on bonuses there, I think it offers a really good value for the low fee. For airline, you know, these ones are really hard to promote because your carrier of choice is going to be limited to your location. So for an airline credit card, I can't really give any solid suggestions. There are some really, really good ones out there. But, you know, for instance, Chicago is not where I'm going to find good options for Delta flights, which was really, really a really popular option for me living in Detroit. So I'm going to be ditching that card soon. So I would think about it in a couple different ways. Is there an airline that you usually fly? Okay, then maybe that's a good opportunity to get that card, get some perks with that card, lowers maybe some baggage fees, things like that. Or are you planning an aspirational trip in the future? And so what you can be doing is maybe finding the routes or the carriers that are flying to that particular destination, right? Say you want to go to Thailand. Okay, well, look up what are the typical routes and the flights required to get to Thailand from where you're at, and then choose the card that corresponds with the airline in which you're going to get the most mileage, pun intended, there. So a couple different strategies for airlines there. All right, let's talk about a no-fee credit card. I have some no-fee fans that kind of follow the show. I think for a no-fee card, so a card that's going to have no annual fee, I would look at the Amex, the American Express Everyday card. This card, you're going to get a 10,000 point sign-on bonus. What's really nice, you're going to get 2x points at supermarkets, and you're going to get 20% bonus points added into your account if the card is used 20 times in a billing cycle, right? So you're gonna earn a certain number of points a month, however you're spending on the card. They're gonna grant you 20% on top of that based on whether or not you use the card enough times in the billing cycle. And this card does earn membership rewards points, which can be transferred to travel partners as well. There are sometimes when you're earning, like, say, cash back, of course, you're getting cash back. That's cash that's going to be deposited as a statement credit onto your account. That might not be earning points, which can then not be transferred. So make sure that you're earning points that can be transferred. The Amex Everyday does. You know, American Express has some really interesting premium cards. I really like this Everyday card because it rewards fairly well on a really big spending category for families, and that is, of course, supermarkets there. It is a meager sign-on bonus, but you know, it's a free card. You just kind of take what you can get. And again, as a membership rewards-based card, you still get some true value for travelers in the ability to transfer to outside partners there. Let's kind of round this out and talk about some other notable options, but those are kind of the specific cards that I really wanted to focus on. Another free card that maybe to think about is the Bank of America Travel Rewards card. It's a very simple card. It's got a really, really good bonus and, of course, fee-free. Another good card, somewhat similar maybe to the Chase Sapphire Preferred, is the Citi Thank You Premier card, $95 annual fee, but has a really good sign-on bonus, very flexible points that can be transferred. Don't overlook Citi. I think Chase and Amex get kind of the bulk of the coverage in the travel writing world, but Citi's got some good cards. If you really like simple options, Capital One is a really good place to look as well. Another card to think about that doesn't get a ton of coverage is the American Express Premier Gold card. It has a $195 annual fee, which I think a lot of people would balk at because it doesn't seem like a really sexy card, but it does have a pretty good sign-on bonus, and it also has a $100 annual airline fee credit, and that can be typically used for like things that you purchase in the air or bag fees as well. Some people have success buying a $100 gift card with it. It's not supposed to be used for that, so your mileage will vary based on that. I wouldn't necessarily suggest it without doing a ton of research there, but I think also for this card, you've got really relevant bonus categories for spending as well. So the American Express Premier Gold earns 2x points at restaurants, 2x points at gas stations, and 2x points at supermarkets. So if you take the $100 annual airline fee credit and knock that off the annual fee, you're basically looking at a $95 annual fee with a good sign-on bonus and really, really good spending bonus categories there that earns transferable membership rewards points. It's one to consider. So again, not a lot of coverage on it, but I think you can get some good value there too. But really, to sum this up, there is no true great card out there for any type of traveler. It really all depends on, you know, your proclivities, where you're located, and what your travel habits are, and maybe potentially what your aspirational travel plans may be. But again, find a strategy that's comfortable for you. If you want some feedback, you got questions, ask me. I do not consider myself an expert in the points and miles game. I do a fair bit of financial coaching, though. That is my day-to-day job. And so we can talk about developing strategies around spending habits and things like that. I'm all ears. If you've got a difference of opinion, you've got a couple different travel cards that you really, really like that maybe I missed and you think would be a really good value for casual travelers, please let me know. I would love to hear your feedback. Okay, so before we go, I do want to thank Chris L. and Milana M., brand new members of the Patreon community. Welcome to the bunker. For people in the Patreon group, the special bunker members, you're going to get the special Detroit episode about a week early. You're going to get the full uncut interview a week early. I talked with Mike Jeter, who's a Detroit comedian. He and I talked about comedy, his start. I asked him about the first joke that he ever wrote, and it's I don't want to say it's explicit. It's just, it's a little more hard-edged than I would typically put in the normal program. So I'm going to cut that out of the actual released podcast, but I'm going to include everything uncut in the Patreon group there. So you bunker members will get to hear kind of everything before it's uncut. I also want to welcome back my assistant. Unfortunately, I forgot to buy him a return ticket from my Zorkfest trip to Vegas, but he made it back, and I'll tell him. He has a message that he really wants me to say. If you could leave a review on iTunes, we would appreciate it. It helps out the show and all the game. Okay, I told him. There you go. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed. I hope you got some salient tips out of this episode. Until next time, safe travels. Be good to each other.